Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour, time that we set aside every week to come together to fellowship one with another, the body of Christ, members of the household of faith, fellowshipping with one another in the word of God. And it's our desire and our prayer that we be on one accord. It's a beautiful day. Today is a day that God has made. And we all should rejoice and have something to be glad therein. God is really in the blessing business. And it's an honor and a privilege to be able to come before the people of God. And it is my prayer that God and that the Holy Spirit will give illumination and revelation. Well, our title tonight is Your Gratitude is What Determines Your Altitude. Do you believe it? And see, once we start being grateful, we could trust God for what we need. And then we began to thank him for what we have. Our scripture tonight is coming out of the book of Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 6 through 13. And then we're going to pick back up at the 19th verse. I pray that all of you had an opportunity to read the entire chapter because it'll help you to understand what God is saying to us tonight. As always, I play a song before we go to God's throne of grace, and I'm going to play the song now, and we're going to come back and go to God's throne of grace, and then we're going to expound on the word together.
God, let God have his way.
let go and let God. Let go, let God. Oh, let go and let God. Let go and let God. My brother, let go and let God. My sister, you can't handle it. Let God. Oh, let go and let God. Let go and let God. Oh, let go and let God. He's the only one with the answer. Just let God.
Record is so true. We have to let go and let God. Many things that we have been praying for and things that we have in our lives that we inviting God in and asking him to fix it. But we keep our hands on it. We keep changing our thoughts and we keep saying things that we wish we wouldn't have said. And we keep doing things. And it's almost as if we don't think God can handle it. And if he could, he should handle it faster. But our timing is not God's timing. And our will is not his will. But when you begin to trust God and you let him have his way, you can let go, as the song says, and let God and wait on him patiently. At this time, it's time to go to our throne of grace. And if anyone on the line would like to lift us up in prayer, God is providing the opportunity. And all you have to do is press the one button on your line, and I'll open the mic, and you can lead us in prayer. If anyone would like to, just press the one button on your phone. Dear Heavenly Father, precious God, God, you to give up every perfect gift. God, you our Lord, our Savior, and our Master. God, you the beginning of every beginning and the end of all ends. Lord, you are our everything, and everything we owe to you. Lord, we come and see you tonight. And we asking that you join us in our, not join us because you're already here. But Lord, we come to say thank you for being in our midst in this Bible study on tonight. God, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is right there touching and agreeing with what it's saying. And then he's going to give illumination and revelation and the word that you put in your holy word that we're going to expound on tonight. Is going to accomplish what you set out for it to accomplish. Lord, I thank you for all that you're doing and have done and promised to do. God, you're a mighty God. Please teach us how to let go and let God, dear God. It sounds simple, but it's not as easy as it sounds. But Lord, we are growing in your grace and in your knowledge, and we realize that once we let go and let God, we can have peace that surpasses all understanding in the midst of the situation and no matter what the outcome. But Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we lift you up, And in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And thank God. Well, it's time to get in a lesson. And as always, I do a little background. Our background tonight is on one of the gospel writers, one of Jesus' apostles. I'm going to have a background on the writer of the book that we expounded on tonight, the book of Philippians. And the writer of that book is Paul. I want you to know that there's much we can learn from the life of the Apostle Paul. Far from ordinary, Paul was given the opportunity to do extraordinary things for the kingdom of God. You see, the story of Paul is a story of redemption in Jesus Christ and a testimony that no one is beyond the saving grace of the Lord. You know, many times I hear people say, oh, you could save your prayer on him or her because they'll never change. That is not true. We don't get to pick the time, and we don't know what God is doing in and through people's lives. But you have to just stay faithful to what God has given you to do. And you, if you are in the Word of God and you understand the Word of God, then you should constantly pray in seasons and out of season, and have a desire that everybody do better, that everybody find the Lord and be saved, because that's only our reasonable service. But when I look at Paul on tonight, I wanted you to know that in order to, you know, get full knowledge of the man, sometimes you have to go back to come forward. And what he symbolized before coming, the apostle of grace. You see, Paul's early life was marked by religious zeal. He had a zeal, but it wasn't according to true knowledge. He was brutally violent and relentlessly prosecuting the Christians. You see, Paul thought that Christians believing in Jesus Christ was blaspheming against God and had to be handled by any means necessary. Paul would get you. No matter where you went, no matter what you did. But you got to understand that Paul was very dedicated to his faith. You know, some believe this and some believe that, and many of them are faithful to their faith because that's what they believe. And Paul's faith was in Judaism. The Judaism religion. You see, Judaism believes in absolute unity and singularities of God, that God was all of it, and he's everything by itself. So because they believe that, and that's the central of Judaism teaching, they just couldn't understand when the people began to believe in a person that had walked the earth, that was born of a virgin that lived in their town. They couldn't believe that. So you see, the rejection of Jesus Christ as Messiah has been a theological issue for Judaism. So it haven't been a problem with them. They just absolutely do not believe it, so they don't entertain it. Because Jews hold on to the belief that the coming of the Messiah will be associated with events that had not occurred at the time of Jesus. And y'all, I can contest to that because I was able in my life, praise God, to visit Jerusalem. And they have the wall where everybody go and pray, and they take and write prayers on paper, and they stick it in the wall. And and they pray and they pray. And the Jews go to the wall 3 times a day. And their prayer, even today, 2021, June the 9th, they are still praying for God to send a Messiah. That Jesus is God, the Son of God, or a person of the Trinity, is incomparable with Jewish theology. They say it can't be. So even though the Jews love God, they never accepted his son. And I'm not talking about all Jews, because the hearts of many Jews has been changed. They realize that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. That Jesus the Son, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit is one, the Trinity. Believe. You see, Jews believe Jesus of Nazareth did not fill the Masonic prophecies that established the criteria for becoming a Messiah. Judaism does not accept Jesus as God, divine, a divine being, an intermediary between human and God. And they don't think that he's holy. Speak of him, they may say a good teacher, a good prophet, but they'll never say Lord, Savior, or Master. Because of Paul's belief. That's what he had been taught all his life, y'all. He grew up in a Jewish family that believed in the Judaism religion. So Paul believed that he was doing what was right, and he wanted to correct the wrong and make it right. At any means necessary. Oh, but God has a master plan that was God has a master plan before the foundation of the world, and God had designed Paul for his service. Come on, y'all. You see, God chose Paul before the foundation of the world, and after Jesus' death and before his ascension to the Father, he met Paul on the road to Damascus. And his life was never the same. You see, once you meet Jesus, your life should be changed. And fortunately, the later years of Paul's life shows a marked difference as he lived his life now for Christ and the advancement of the kingdom. This is proof that God doesn't allow your past to dictate your future. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, come to Jesus just as you are. Behold, all things and old things will become new. Come to Jesus just as you are. You don't have to get ready to come to Jesus. You don't have to clean yourself up first. You don't have to go and buy church clothes because you only have club clothes. Come as you are, whatever state you're in. Come to Jesus. He's waiting for you with open arms. And God will help you and work with you and help change you, because there's nothing you could do on your own. You see, Paul was taught by Jesus himself. And he went on to write 13 books in the Bible, and some believe 14. But Paul wrote the book of Philippians, the book we're studying tonight, and it was written to the church in Philippi. You see, Paul wrote this letter while in Rome, in prison. You see, Paul was often placed in prison because, you see, he used to be the one who put people in prison. Watch this, y'all. And now he done flipped and changed sides. And now the ones that believe, as he believed, is still doing what he did. And now he's subjected to them. You see, he was in prison because of disbelief in Jesus Christ. They would put him in prison to stop him from talking and spreading the gospel news and talking about the gospel of the kingdom of God. He was in prison when he wrote this book, y'all. You see, the letter of Philippians is Paul's joy letter. So if you ever want to hear a story of joy, read the book of Philippians, and it's only 4 chapters. You see, in this letter, it emphasized the real joy of Christian life. We should rejoice with Paul as we read the book of Philippians. And if we need to rededicate ourselves to finding joy in Christ, like the record say, let go and let God. Paul was grateful to Jesus for what he had done for him. And being so grateful, it led to his obedience. And then his gratitude is what determines his altitude. And we, as we study the word of God, we see how high Paul went. I come to tell you tonight, how high do you want to go in Christ? And it's going to be determined by how grateful and thankful you are and how much you trust God. I mean, truly trusting. Because you see, that's how you increase your faith. You put your trust in God and the things that used to bother you won't bother you anymore. You see, you're going to take that worry and turn it into concern. And you're going to keep it moving. And it's not that the problem go away. You might be praying for someone and you let go and let God. It's not that you love them less. But it's now, it's that you will have peace. And that leads us to the lesson. And I'm going to start in a chapter in the 6th verse. And the scripture says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Hallelujah, y'all. They say be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, the next verse say, verse 7, that surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Have you ever been kept, y'all? Have you ever been truly kept by God? When everything around you is topsy-turvy, going crooked, and yet, even though you don't understand it, because there was a time in your life when them same circumstances might have happened, you might have crashed out. Come on, y'all. You might have not been able to operate. But now you go to God in prayer and you're thankful and you're grateful. And God will give you a peace that surpasses understanding. You see, when the scripture says be careful for nothing means don't worry about anything. If you really think about it for a moment, worry has never changed anything. If it was tried and tested, then we could probably hold on to it a little longer. But let's look at it. The more you worry, do it makes the problem go away. Worry has never solved anything. Worry haven't made any situation better. And probably made, I know that worry has made many people worse. Because you see, with the worry, take a stress on your body, and you could become ill. But worry has never produced an outcome that anybody ever looked for. Can you even imagine never being anxious about anything? You know, it seems impossible. But you know, they say with man, all things, with God, all things is possible. We all have worries as we live in this evil world. You know, we here on earth, in this world that is controlled by the prince of the air, which is Satan, and the standards that are described as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. That's the standard of this world we live in, y'all. Don't ever get it twisted. Understand it. You see, everything that the world offers, first of all, is only temporal. And it always, and I'm saying always, it always promises more than it can give. It will set you up and then walk away and leave you all alone to face the music. How you think so many people hit rock bottom? Why you think so many people that was riding high and now many of them may be in jail, some may be in a grave, some may be just poor after having so much ill-gained riches. You see, we are in a pandemic. Racism is at an all-time high. Brutality has become a way of life. And our black young men are being killed by the hands of others. And let's be real about it. And they are also keep killing each other daily on the street. We must remember that we are in a world, but not of this world. God has established a kingdom way of living for us here on earth. It's not a place. You see, the kingdom of God is God's presence and rules and regulation and the gospel and the joy and prayer and studying the word of God that's going to operate in you, you see. And the kingdom is in our heart. You know, that's why I've been saying so regularly lately, when they get on TV and talking about making a new law for this and a new law for that, I have come to realize that we are not in need of any new laws, because the problems that we have is not a law thing. We got all the laws we could stay in on the books, and none of them are being, you know, being used to no great degree. But it's not a thing about the laws or not enough laws. First of all, the issue is a change of heart need to take place. Because even if the powers that be had a change of heart, fairness would be on that side. And if the people's hearts begin to change on this side, it won't be a perfect world. But I guarantee you to be better than it is now. You see, in the kingdom of God here on earth, it's because we realize we have a king. And our king has come and has inaugurated a new reality for those that accept him. You see, people are called to know him and to follow him, and to join his mission in the world. We realize that we have to take on the image of Christ. Jesus left, but we became his ambassadors. We became his arms and his legs here on earth. And we have a commandment to go ye therefore each one of us should be trying to tell someone about somebody who could save anybody. You see, God is the king. And the mission of the church, and I need to tell you now, I'm not talking about the church building. You see, when we accepted Christ as our Savior, we were born into the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is his church. So we are the church. And we as the church and a part of the body of Christ should join Jesus in the work in the kingdom. Living in this place with Jesus as our King. You see, it's a place where you live with moral standards, that you love your neighbor like yourself, that you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. That's when you're living in a kingdom, kingdom moral, in the presence of God, being the best you could be, doing the best that you can, answering all of the opportunities that God is putting before you for service. And God will never ask you to do anything that he haven't gave you the provisions, the talents, the gifts, or the resources to accomplish it. So you see, when, you know, we get to God face to face and God say, I came to you so many times and I gave this opportunity for you to help A, B, or C, or to do this or do that, you know, you're not going to be able to come up with any excuse. You can't say I didn't because I didn't have this. He's going to say that's not the truth. I didn't have the time. He said, I gave you the time. You know, so God provides the opportunity. And he's not going to ask you to do anything that you're not able to do. He's not going to ask you to do anything you're not equipped to do. He's not going to ask you to give anything you don't have. Remember that. Paul gave us advice in the scripture. He said, turn our worries into prayer. And he says, do you want to worry less? He's giving us the answer. He's saying, okay, if you want to worry less, he's saying, I suggest you pray more. Whenever you begin to worry, stop and pray. You see, God's peace is different from the world peace. True peace is not formed by just positive thinking. True peace is not only when you have absence of conflict or when you're feeling good. That's peace. But the true peace comes from knowing that God is in control and you could trust him for all your needs. You see, truth peace is joy. You see, and joy could stand up in the midst of the storm. Joy still stands up when everything around you is falling. And you could say, even with a weak voice, if it gets to that, I know my Redeemer liveth. You see, that's joy speaking. That's joy, y'all. And you see, you can only have it when you know, truly know and understand who God is. See, your citizenship in Christ's kingdom here on earth, it's sure, if you accepted Christ, you became a citizen in the kingdom here on earth, in Christ's kingdom, God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And you see, you could have peace because your destiny is set. And you should be able to have victory over sin. And we trust him for what we need. You see, God's peace will guard your heart and mind against anxiety. This is what the peace of God will do. trying. God will bestow divine peace in times of anxiety, so wonderful that it exceeds one's ability to understand it. You see, God's peace far surpasses our own understanding of the problem. See, sometimes we have a problem and we are, figuring it out. And it might not be the real problem. It might not be the real issue. But we're putting all of the energy. First of all, fear going to pop its ugly head up, and you working out of fear. And I can always attest that fear is the evidence of something that appears to be real. And you might say, Sister Diane, how you say that? I've seen in my life that a phone call comes on the phone, and the person answers the phone, and someone over the phone tell them ABC or whatever, something happened. And they collapse on the floor because the fear was so strong from what they heard and how they perceived everything to be. And again, I say fear is the evidence of something that appeared to be real. And that's why my motto is never panic before it's time. But, when it's all said and done, it wasn't as bad as the person said. And, you got a lot of people that just love drama. So they're going to tell you the situation 10 times worse than it already is. But the fear comes in. And now you have fear, which I like to say is the evidence of something that may not be real. But it happens, y'all. You see, praying is our solution for anxiety, not just for some things, but for all things. You see, while God is eager to hear our requests, they ought to be They need to come along with Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving should be attached. You see, because one of the worst sins in the world is the sin of ingratitude. And if we look at verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You see, the mind is something. So it's telling us that these are the kind of things we should have in our mind. Verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul said, y'all been with me a long time. You see how I handle things. All of us should have somebody in our lives that through life experiences, especially people you knew, almost all your life, you have the ones that worry. You have the ones that panic. You have the ones that make them think themselves sick no matter what they're told. And then you have some that no matter what is going on, they are level-headed. They could be the voice of reason, and they could still operate. Paul was telling the Philippians, you've seen me. He said, so do as I do, and the peace will be with you. So if all of us had somebody in our lives that we know, I have a friend that said her aunt was like that. God gives us examples. Do as they do. Question them if you need to. Because, if that's what you're trying to achieve, then find somebody else. Something that could get you in that place. Because I could tell you, worrying has never solved the problem. Never. And it wouldn't be so bad if they had a batting record of just maybe 25 times. You could say, out of everybody and everything in the world, If you think about it, the situations that happen in y'all lives and how the person began to worry, out of everybody you know in your life, if you could give me 5 people that worrying took care of the problem. And if you can't, then it's a real lesson of life that worry doesn't change things for the better. Hallelujah. And you know, it's, I don't like to tell people, but even if they begin to worry, and I know some people grieve and worry differently. And let's say they grieve for 2 years, and then they begin to get better. But the same thing that got them better 2 years ago, you know, what got them better after the 2 years was there in the beginning. And that's just a fact. You see, we put into our mind, what we put in our mind, what comes out in our words and even our actions. You see, these are things that we put in our mind. You know, our mind is something, because in our mind, we're either talking ourselves into doing something or talking ourselves. Either talking ourselves into doing something or talking ourselves out of doing something, good or bad. You know what you shouldn't eat, so you just play with it. You know what you shouldn't do. You know if you, you know, whatever we got to do, it plays, the play begins in our mind. And when our mind, if we control our mind and accept we need to do it, and we start talking in our mind about doing, we'll probably do it. But if we start beginning to talk ourselves out of doing it, you know, most of the time that'll win. You see, God has given us his word, and we should think on what God has said, not on what we think. Because, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You see, that's why it's called faith. You see, our faith is in God, even though we can't see what we want. But we place our faith in God and trust God, and we let go, and then we keep it moving, and by and by, it get better. It get better, y'all. You see, remember, everything that the devil set up for our bad, God can turn it around for our good. You remember Job, it was only a test. And sometimes some of the things that come in our life is for a test as well. God say he used trials, tribulation, adversity sometimes as a test to see what you're working with. And other times it may be to mature you. And sometimes it's to save you. Because if God let you, you know, deal with this little bitty situation, he know there's a bigger situation waiting for you, and he's giving you training in a little that you could handle the big. Oh, yes, indeed. Thank you, Jesus. Such things like television, internet, certain books, ungodly conversation, movies, and even magazines are used by Satan to distract and take your mind into places it shouldn't be. Not everything dealing with these things are bad. Just examine yourself. The Bible said we should guard our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Remember, whatever you feed, that's what's going to grow. We must examine what we are allowing to enter our mind. It's not good enough to hear or read the word of God or even to know it well. We must also put it into practice. How easy it is to listen to a sermon and forgot what the preacher said. How easy is it to read the Bible and not think about it, how we should live differently. You know, if we don't meditate on the word, the scripture told us, is going to be snatched out. Satan right there to snatch anything of God from you. Exposure to the word is not enough unless it leads to obedience. If we look at the next verses, 10 through 13, and it says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lack opportunities. Let me read that again so you could get it. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly. This is Paul telling the Philippian church that he's rejoicing, that now at the last, your care for me flourished again. He said, y'all was caring for me, and I was in jail. He said, but it stopped, but now you're doing it again, and I'm rejoicing. He said, wherein ye were also careful, but you lacked the opportunity. Hallelujah. So Paul now says in 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul say, yeah, you know, y'all stop, and other plenty of the churches stop giving towards me. Paul said, you know, it's all right. I'm all right. He said, because I have learned to be content. 12. He said, I know both how to abate, and I also know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul said, I know every day ain't going to be Sunday. Paul saying, how I could be content because I know God's going to take care of all of my needs. Yes, I might be hungry, but I ain't going to starve. I might not have everything I want to eat, but I won't starve. And 13, he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. You see, the Philippians said in Paul's financial support while he was in prison, Paul didn't accept, watch this, Paul didn't accept everyone's support because he didn't want them to think that he was only doing it for the money. It's a good man, huh? Paul would be content because he could see life God's point of view. Ooh, that should be our goal, y'all. Paul was content, because you see, anytime you pray, no matter what you're asking for, and then you're in your prayer with not my will, but God's will, that's saying you turning it over to God's point of view. And he thanked God for what he had and trusted God for what he needed. How can we find true contentment? Well, I believe the answer lies in our perspective, our priorities, and our source of power. God doesn't give us Superman ability to accomplish everything that we can imagine in our head without regard to his will or interest. What are you saying, Sister Diane? You see, people read that scripture and they poke their chest out that I can do all things through Christ that strengthen me. All things that lines up with his will and his interest. But he will strengthen us completely for the things that he has assigned for us to accomplish. So whatever God has assigned to you to do, he's going to give you the strength to do it. Hallelujah. Paul knew the weapons that formed against him would not prosper. And he continued to be content no matter what's going on, y'all. Either you're going to trust him or you don't. And yes, we are emotional and we are people, you know, with emotions, and we get sad, and some people are, you know, have, you know, cry maybe a lot, not that they weak, but they cry, and, you know, all of that. But you got to trust him, y'all. to be content. There's no contentment when you're not trusting him. How could you say you're content and yet you're all shook up for days and weeks and sometimes months? You can't sleep and you can't eat, but you're content. Here we see that we must thank God for what we have and trust him for what we need. And when we begin to do that, our gratitude is what's going to determine our altitude. And the last scripture says, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All of God's riches is great. And here's the statement, and we could just say it like this. Everything is by God's grace, which is Christ Jesus. All things through Christ Jesus, this scripture is saying, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Everything you need is in God's grace. Everything you are, everything you do is by the grace of God. But do you take time to thank him for it? Have you ever thanked him for letting you breathe? When you had a job, did you thank him for the job, or you thought that, you know, it was all about you? If God didn't give you breath, you couldn't go to work. Do you bless your food when you eat it? Thank you, dear God, for allowing me to have food, and thank you for the finances that I had to be able to buy the food, and thank you for letting my body digest the food. Because some people's body can't digest food. Some people don't have money to get food. Have you ever thanked him? You see, we can trust that God will always meet our needs. Whatever we need on earth, he will always supply, even if it is the courage to face death, as Paul did. Paul was killed because of his faith in Jesus Christ. He was martyred, as they say this. You see, in Philippians 1 and 2, Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul, if you go on and read that a little bit more, Paul was saying, you know, it's all right if I die today, because I'll be able to be with God face to face. He said, but at this time, what God has given me for you, I think it's more profitable for me to be here and keep teaching you and send you out as disciples so you could get some more. See, Paul knew his purpose. He said, but don't get it twisted. For me to live, I'm going to do Christ. But I understand that for me to die is gain. You see, he knew the worst thing is not to die, but to die without your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So Paul wanted every opportunity to get and teach and bring others into the kingdom of God. You see, whatever we need in heaven, he has already supplied it. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you will. God, Jesus went back to the Father, preparing a place for us. Now, you know, anything we need is going to be supplied. But you see, we must remember the difference between our wants and our needs. Most people want to feel good and avoid discomfort and pain. We may not get all that we want, but trusting in Christ, our attitude an appetite can change from wanting everything to accepting his provision and power to live for him. Sometimes you got to pray that your want appetite change. And God will do it. You see, once we do these things and we become grateful, See, if you're truly grateful, your gratefulness will begin to be shown in your obedience. Then your gratitude will determine your altitude. You have to ask yourself, how far, how high I want to go in God. And if you never thought about it, I suggest you do, because where you at, you evidently are right with it. And there may not be any growth. But I come to tell you that you have the ability in you to go how high, how far, and how fast you want to go in the things of God. It all depends on you. And that's the lesson for tonight. Glory, hallelujah, unto God. If there's any questions tonight, any comments, anybody would like to say anything, you can at this time. You only have to press the one button on your phone, and I could open your mic. Anyone would like to say anything? God is providing an opportunity. And I, you know, sometimes hope that people will say something. And it's not for me. It's not like I'm on a station that, you know, I need ratings or, you know, it's going to give me money. But sometimes God has something for you to say that could put the icing on the cake for someone else. You know, maybe the way you say it could be a little different than the way I say it. And it could encourage them. So, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, pressure anybody or anything like that. But I know that sometimes some things God has for someone to say, you know, to reach someone else. Sometimes God has that person with the ability to say what's necessary for the next person. And you don't even have to know who they are. But you see, that's how God works things out together for the good. He knows who's on this line. He knows what they're going through. He knows somebody might have the same experience. Or they could put it in a way that can help their sister or brother through the time of trouble. There's nothing else to say at this time. We'll have our benediction. The benediction tonight is going to come from the book of 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, 18th verse. And the scripture reads, "Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. Amen." That's our lesson for tonight. If it's God's will and your desire, you will meet back on next Wednesday. It's always a joy and a pleasure to be with my sisters and brothers in Christ. Where we come together on Wednesday night and just kick it. Hey, you know, it's like kicking it in Jesus. Hey, hallelujah, y'all. I love it, and I love each and every one of you. And it's my desire that each and every one of you go in peace. And I just want to make this public service announcement. I'm asking everybody to be careful on the street. Sin and evil do not have no respect of persons. And many of the crimes and the carjacking is happening in daylight. You know, so just be observant of your surroundings and, you know, if you don't have to just expose yourself out there, don't, because it's real. It's really real. A lady was on her way to work here in New Orleans, and I guess she must have was fighting the guys because they said the lady had two degrees in, you know, martial arts. So she evidently, I don't know that she did, but I could think that because they made it clear. So she started fighting them. And whoever it was pulled out a knife. They didn't shoot her, but they stabbed her to death. So be careful. And it is my prayer that God arms of protection be with each and every one of us now and forevermore. God give us traveling grace as we travel from one place to another. Build a fence all around us, dear God. Protect us from dangers seen and unseen. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Until next week, everybody be blessed. Good night.